Welcome to the Yorkville Public Library Board of Trustees meeting. It's August 10th, 7 p.m. Can I have a roll call, please?
Yes. Hedman?
Here.
Rodriguez?
Here.
Walter?
Here.
Brendich is absent. Chacon?
Here.
Crawford?
Here.
Forrestal is absent. And Garcia?
Here.
Okay. See, we have Lisa, the library director, and we have Dan Transier from the city. Let's see. Are there any amendments to the agenda? No? Okay. All right.
Does my pen need to be blue? I'm sorry.
I can't hear you.
Does my pen need to be blue for the checks?
Blue or black?
Blue or black?
Yeah. And what about the bank?
I don't know if that matters.
Anything but red.
And blue. Okay.
I thought it was whatever pen is available either.
All right, if we could go over the minutes and approve them. Make a motion to approve the minutes from Monday, July 13th, 2020.
Second. Wait, we got one change under unfinished business with the E-rate.
Mm-hmm.
It's S&G was adding the access point, not Comcast. Minor problem.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you. I'll change that. Okay. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Walter?
Yes.
Chacon?
Yes.
Crawford?
Yes.
Garcia?
Yes.
Hedman?
Yes.
Okay, so correspondence. So we have a few things. We have a thank you card for the Kindle Fire. And Oliver Garwich says that it is awesome and that he loves to read. So thank you, Oliver. And we have a thank you card from Bethany Green. Thank you so much for working with me to purchase some new books for the Yorkville Library that will celebrate people of color. This check won't cover every book on our list of suggestions, but I hope it makes a nice dent. Enjoy making some new purchases, and thanks again for helping our community read to end racism. Peace. Bethany. Great. And then we have from Mary Holt. Per Shelley request, I am submitting this necessity for an extra hour or two for computer work. I have a mandatory court legal case that requires e-filing, as well as an application for school district that is overdue. I am requesting a provision for this week, phone number listed. So this is for having extra computer usage.
Did you say Mary Holt?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Beyond the 1 hour. That's what she's asking.
Right? She wants it beyond the hour. She wants 2 hours. So, a response was written by Elisa. Dear Ms. Holt, this letter is in response to your letter dated August 1st that was addressed to the Board of Trustees. I will share this with them at the regular meeting on August 10th. The daily operations of the Yorkville Public Library are under my administration. We have reopened to the public with limited restrictions due to the pandemic. The one-hour limit on the computers and in the building are part of these new restrictions to keep everyone safe. Based on your request, I will extend your need for computer time to 2 hours per day for the week of August 3rd through the 8th, 2020. This is a one-time exemption that will not be renewed. Be advised to budget your time wisely during this week. The board will support me on my decision. Lisa Topp. Great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. So that's correspondence. Let's see. Put this on here. You have the report of the treasurer?
Sure. Looking through the check register, nothing jumps out too much. Mm-hmm. Does look like we do have some COVID-related expenses that hit under supplies.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't look like there were any large repairs, but some of the smaller repairs were in on this one. As far as our budget year-to-date, we are roughly 25% of the way through our fiscal year, so going down our current revenue, with half the taxes in, we're sitting at 51%, so it's actually looking pretty good on our property tax revenue.
Mm-hmm.
As expected, though, our library fines and our subscription cards are down under budget, so looks like we're pretty well under budget with that at 12% and 7%, when we should be roughly around 25% on those.
Mm-hmm.
As far as expenses, most everything is in line. If you look down the column, some of our benefits are a little higher, but nothing too far out of range right now. And then some of the areas, like the paying agent fees, I'm assuming that's an annual cost, so
mm-hmm.
that should even out as it goes on. Otherwise, we're in pretty good shape right now, all things considered.
Great. Okay, I'll make a motion that we pay our accounts for accounts payable $18,562.80 and a payroll of $35,573.61 for a total disbursement of $54,136.41.
A second.
Okay. Walter?
Yes.
Chacon?
Yes.
Crawford?
Yes.
Garcia?
Yes.
Hedman?
Yes.
And Rodriguez?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Have a report of the library director, please.
Well, we had a scare this past week, and a staff member that went home ill. And ended up going for a COVID test on Wednesday. I handed out the flow chart. That was something that was given out to the director's listserv, one of the director's attorneys made that flow chart, so that's what we were following. Thank goodness the person tested negative. I got clearance from her doctor, and she's allowed to come back to work. But it was a wake-up call, that it's a possibility. And, you know, in my mind all night, I'm thinking, what are the steps that we're going to have to take? Because she was in contact with a number of people on that Monday. And, of course, this happened the week Jeanette was on vacation. It's one of Jeanette's staff members. But it worked out fine. So, but it was a wake-up call. But it's nice to have this flowchart, because it really outlines what you need to do. So, the part in the telecom room was replaced. The total cost was $1,625.50. Initially, I was told the part would be $200, and then it went up to $700. I have questioned a number of the labor costs. They said they were here for 6 hours, and I had noted it's 4 hours, unless they're charging travel time. So I sent an email to Kevin, and he's going to come out and talk to us about, he's going to try to get some of those charges reversed. And then he wants to come out and talk about what's included in the contract. process of developing a new program for the teens. It's volunteer projects from home, and I've invited her to come next month and talk about what she's doing with the teens. We interviewed 8 candidates, and we hired 4 new people, which have gone through drug testing and background checks. So we're waiting for them to clear. We're also hiring back one of our staff members that left in January. Brittany O'Carroll will be coming back to the Youth Services Department. I've included the first draft of the marketing plan, and this is a working document. Library operations, I worked with Jason and the insurance company to have a new treasurer's bond issued. Our rate went from $580 to over $800. It turns out that we weren't paying the rate that we should have been paying all along. The wiring for the wireless system has been completed 2 days. We want to thank Russ Walter for being on site to monitor the project. Curbside service, which I was really concerned about when we reopened. We had over 400, almost 450 curbside pickups a month. And surprisingly, we're down to about three curbsides a day. People really want to come back into the library. So we're able to handle it. And people are just happy to be able to come in for hours and check out books. And I think that's all I have.
Oh, I had a question. I'm sorry.
Sure.
It was about the flow chart. So she was sent home because she had symptoms?
No, she had been feeling well the week before. And then she called in and said she wasn't feeling any better. And she went to the doctor. And the doctor set up the test.
I guess I just don't see on the flow chart individual has symptoms. What's the procedure if you have symptoms? Like, the first one is you come into contact, you didn't have that.
Just a second.
Tested positive or suspected of having COVID and had symptoms.
Yeah.
So that's
she was suspected because she felt that she had COVID. That's why she went for the test. Surprisingly, the test came back, like, she went on Wednesday and the test came back Thursday.
That's good.
And the doctor faxed me the letter Thursday afternoon, because I told her she could not come back into the building unless I had clearance.
So we're not following this, because this is 2 negative tests. I'm just asking if this is just a recommendation. Like, what is
it's
our actual
it's
policy?
We haven't come up with
one.
Because this is just... Yeah.
This is not a policy, this is a guideline, right?
I understand
it's
that,
just
but...
just what was handed out to use as a guideline.
I was trying to understand
what
we were actually doing.
So do we need to actually have something in ours to make sure that since we've had an incident, a policy that outlines, you know, these specific guidelines here, or...
Is one enough? Is 2 required? I mean, I know there are some places that are requiring 2. Others are requiring 1.
Well, didn't we have in the policy about temperature checks?
Yes, but this is when we're thinking that you have it and you got tested. What are our guidelines going to be for them to return to work? 1 test?
Realistically, probably 1.
Yeah, 1 test.
Mm-hmm. And then do we piggyback it off of the temperature?
So then what, I just want to understand, because when we say policies and we say we have this, that we're going by this, what are we using? This is just a what is this for?
I think it's a guideline.
Procedure of what?
Procedure.
But is this going to be something that we adopt as our procedure? Is what I mean, because it's not in our policy, it's not in our procedure. Is this going to be something that we use for our staff members, or is this something you're just going to, you know?
I think it has to be a procedure rather than a policy.
Okay,
this is a procedure to follow. So maybe, yes, we do have to come up with our own.
Right. This is a guidance.
At least to say that we've adopted either this or we've
okay. So
adjusted.
We just need to get it into our books. And not have it as just this one. Okay, this is going to be what we go by for our staff members. Because we can have this, but if somebody comes back positive, what do we have that's going to protect us showing that we have it in our books?
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, all the webinars I've done, we can become liable if we don't have the correct documentation
mm-hmm.
in our books. This is not It's a guide. It's a guideline, but it's not a documentation that represents.
Let's just say she took a test, and it came back negative, and they do have them. The false, like they, it wasn't right, because if you take it too close to when you get it or whatever, it doesn't always. Like, there's the rapid ones, and those aren't as accurate as the one that is very uncomfortable and goes all the way up your brain, basically. Mm-hmm. That's the one that takes longer to come back. So let's say she tests negative. We let her come back. She actually has it and infects others. Because we didn't follow two negative tests and only one and let her come back, if somebody else were to get sick, we would be liable for letting her come back to work and recontaminating people. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So I think they wouldn't really have a case. They'd have a case if it was like, we were following this, which says two, and we let her get away with one. Like, we have to, everybody who says, I think I might, we see one test, or whatever. Doctor's note saying you're cleared is what we use. I'm not saying we need to take two. I'm just saying, let's have a consistent method so that everybody's following the same.
Does the city have a set procedure?
I'm aware of.
Okay.
School district does. School district does.
Information from
okay.
I think this is good. I just think we need to be like, it's too much for us. Let's make this one for us.
Well, I think it needs to actually say that this is what we're going to follow. That this is the procedure for the Yorkville Public Library.
We can draft one up. The policy meeting and just draft one up based on this. If
you like, I can get examples from other libraries.
Well, it's easier. I can pull it off.
I'd like to see what somebody else is using, though, too, already.
Mm-hmm.
Like our local libraries.
Put it in the books. For
definitely.
Us to protect
and then
us.
The other... The other question is contact tracing.
Yes.
So while somebody's out being tested, what's our procedure on anybody that was exposed?
Around. Yes. And that's where
is that the
all
managers that need to
our books.
Question who they...
Yeah. And who's following up with them to see
yes. contacting them
who they were nearby.
Mm-hmm. That's why we are so, like, our procedures at the school are so restricted so that if somebody is... They can say, this is where they, like, you have an assigned lunch space.
Yes.
There's no more, so you were in this room with these kids, or you ate
this
lunch
teacher.
In this library, mm-hmm. or, because I think they want to be able to say, just this group needs
yes.
to be contained, rather
right.
than saying, let's shut our whole school down. You know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
we could just say, these three people need to be off of work, not let's close the library.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
right. And then do the deep cleaning, and then continue with operation. But we need to really have it written in our books. I mean,
well,
I don't feel
too,
more
who's
comfortable.
Gonna do it? Is the manager going to do it?
Than just this?
Right.
Having a policy meeting or something? Or just drafting? If she get an example of one from another library?
I'll get
a
couple of examples.
Right.
Set,
and
set
I can bring in some examples as well based on what from the HR side. And we really need to have it in the books.
Well, because then the other question is, okay, if somebody's working the CERC desk and they're suspected as being positive,
mm-hmm.
what's our procedure for
right.
patrons? Or, you know, I mean, do we have any...
Well, are they contacted with the patrons? I thought they were
it's only,
drops.
And the thing is, they consider contact tracing if you have sustained more than 15 minutes with one person.
Okay.
So like a circulation procedure that's less than 5 minutes, it's the other co-workers that they're standing
right.
behind.
And less than 6 feet away.
And we're
yeah.
doing drops in circulation. We're not doing, right, so it would be just the co-workers around that individual.
Mm-hmm.
And then you deal with the public health department, too.
Right.
Yeah.
You let them know.
Yeah,
but at what point?
It,
yeah.
I think only if it's positive.
Positive, yeah.
Yeah, it gets to be very, I mean...
Because there's probably some responsibilities on our part even before a positive result. If
mm-hmm.
there's a suspected positive, as far as making sure people that were exposed are A, notified, and
yes.
B,
well,
removed.
The other reason you need a policy is because when you tell people to stay home and they can't come to work...
Right.
Now they can't make their money.
Right.
So are we paying them when we're on leave? Like, all of that had to be written out for our school.
I believe
because
we did do that in our last policy.
It wasn't very specific, though.
No,
what
I thought we
nature?
Did for, not this part, but the whether or not you get paid while you're off.
Because, like, if we have somebody to stay home because we feel they may have been exposed, are we now paying them?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And we might say, if you were exposed outside of the library, that's on you.
Right.
If you were exposed, like, if we ask, you know, the three of them work together and she was the one, we make the two of them stay home, they should still get paid because it was, like, in the line of duty. Like, that
sure.
needs to be spelled out, too. If you if it's, you came into contact while at work.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of work. That's all I can say.
And then what do you do with the building? Like, someone was had it at City Hall. They had to close the building down. And
yeah, you have to do deep cleaning. You have to close it down. Everybody have to be off for a certain amount of time.
You just close it for...
And clean.
I don't know. I've read a lot of things about the deep cleanings, a lot of...
Yeah.
Unnecessary money.
Well,
sometimes.
Not that deep, but wherever that person was, and, you know, just make sure.
That's really, we need to really be concerned about the respiratory, about the.
Mm-hmm. So, what are we doing? Are you going to get a policy
get
from
policy,
there?
But we probably need
a. But we need a policy here. Meeting.
Yeah, definitely.
Does it have to be in person, or we schedule it to be in person? Because I would really hate for another incident to come up and come back positive, and we don't have anything.
Great. So Julie's the head of the policy mm-hmm. committee. So
reach out to her.
I'll reach out to her.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Thank goodness she wasn't.
Yeah,
I think it's
going to be
a lot more
available
than
you realize.
Allergy okay. is going to be a lot of that.
Mm-hmm. You mean to, if you don't mind.
Anything for the city?
No, thank you.
A lot of cleanup today. That's.
Oh yeah, we've been busy.
Yeah.
All the trees.
Yeah.
Let's see. Standing committees. We did not have any that met this past month. Unfinished business. So the reopening update.
We reopened July 13th. We had a welcome desk at the front of the library to welcome people back. We had tote bags, we had mugs, we had frisbees. Everybody was really happy to be back in the building. We were checking to make sure that people wore masks, and we gave people masks if they didn't have one. The only issue we've had is people wearing the mask properly. We've had to remind people that it has to be over the nose. Mm-hmm. One guy had it on his head. We told him that he could have it on
That's
his
really
head.
Useful.
And then the other item is that some people are staying a little over an hour, and so give them a 15-minute leeway, and then they have to leave. But pretty much people have been following the rules. We want to thank the friends, the managers and I sat at the table the first 3 days, and then the friends sat there Thursday and Friday. That's all I have on the open video.
Okay. And the dedication plaques?
We have the dedication plaques that I'll show you. These will go up this week, and Daniel can come by and see his plaque. Boy Scout, Eagle Scout Project, Daniel Chacone, 2019.
Nice. Where's that going?
It's going to go right before you go outside to the play area.
Oh, yes.
And I did it so it was colorful for the children here. And then this is for the Howard N. Wolf Quiet Reading Room, 2019.
Nice.
And this one side says Quiet Reading Room, the other nice. Side will have this. I will let the family know that we did this and also do a press release. That was Leo's plaques and sandwich. We did a really nice job.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah,
really
like
nice.
That.
Mm-hmm.
Really nice. Mr. Daniel.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Very nice.
Presentations.
Mm-hmm. You had a prior engagement tonight.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say. Good work for college.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to pass these around or just
keep
them?
Oh, we saw.
Yeah.
Don't
yeah.
want to get scratched up.
Yeah, you can put them so on the scratch.
That's why I didn't put them on top of each other.
Yeah, okay.
All right, so we can move on to landscaping project proposals.
Okay, we had two landscapers were recommended by Judy Summerlot, one landscaper by Russ Walter, and one landscaper is our current person that does our fall and spring cleanup. So I have three proposals you have in front of you. The fourth one came in at 4:30, and I can't make copies because I have no power. Basically, the range, Philippe Fire Oak came in at $1,222.50. Eric Hill, our landscaper, came in at $1,632. Collegiate was $2,560. And Hardscape, the one that came in at $430, was $5,644.
Are they for the same?
Wow. So, this might be something that goes to the facility committee to look at. I don't know, unless you want the board to come back with it. But the garden club has notified me that they will give us $500 towards the project.
Oh,
good.
Nice.
Are they all doing the same exact or are they different designs?
They look a little different.
I don't know because I don't know.
Yeah. Okay.
They just said they're going to plant some stuff.
Which one?
The one that's 1222. They just said they're going to plant some stuff. They didn't say what.
Right.
And generic. Spread some mulch.
That's too generic. That one doesn't specify. Yeah. I just see the specifics. This one even needed a drawing.
I've had Collegiate do a lot of work at my new house.
And yeah?
They do very, very good work. They got a lot of very hard working guys.
Right. Did they even get a design?
Yep. 90 degree heat. They're out there digging through the concrete at Grand Reserve.
The one that's the $5,000. I don't have copies.
That's okay.
We don't need $5,000.
No. Not for that little piece of ground.
Well, it's lower because they don't have rebuilding the wall. They have removing the first of fir oak. They're removing the stones, and it has here optional. And I can't really tell. Is that $1,250?
$1,250, yeah.
If you build front wall with existing blocks. This one, rebuild retaining wall, includes 4-inch stone foundation. 1 yard black dirt to raise up the power wash existing block. Install 3 gold plane.
Spireas.
So these people are only doing 3 for real, like a bush?
Yes.
So they're only doing 3 bushes and then lilies, which is really cheap. Whereas these people were doing 8 bushes and leaving space for the ground garden club to put additional flowers in between. I mean, they did at least say that they were going to do 2 different colors.
Mm-hmm.
3 in the front, 3 in the back, and 1 on each side.
This one sounds... This one is more of a collegiate because they're putting a lot more into it.
They got a little line and then they're going for the new grass. But how many of these are bushes? The bushes are a little bit steeper than...
Well, the hydrangeas are bushes.
Yeah.
Which one are bushes?
The hydrangea.
That one grows very nice.
So 3 of those, then the regrass, 3 of those. I don't know that. Are they going to give us, the garden club just going to give us $500 or?
$500.
Okay.
The other thing, though, Collegiate isn't rebuilding the wall.
They're just
taking it out.
Yeah. And the first one is also talking, I mean, they mentioned it twice. They'll apply the liquid and dry chemistry in the beds for the weeds. Weeds are a big problem.
Yes.
And after the final
I did notice that too. This one talks about applying dry chem.
The area all the way around.
Right, and it's a mulch area all the way, nice, clean, cost-effective finish that will showcase all the size of the sign. This plan will match the other current surrounding landscapes and allow the garden club to add additional flowers and small plants. Because they're not doing all that, but they want to. So just adding bushes. So they're cleaning and adding bushes is what the...
So the optional was, it says build front wall with existing blocks, which is what we would want them to do, right?
But that's an extra $1,250.
Yeah, I see that.
Yes. And something else, the hallway and repurpose, add, is that $150? 450? I can't read it. It's green and
I think it's 100.
100.
100.
$100.
So yellow is included.
Yep.
And all the others are not.
Green
is optional. And blue is supplies.
So that's included too.
Yeah.
Green is yellow.
So then the only thing that we have to say is 22 will get an additional for the building before the wall.
Well, you either pay $100 for them to haul it away or $12.50 for them to use it. Because if you don't do either of the options, you're just going to have a pile of blocks
exactly.
out there.
We were trying to get rid of the blocks, right?
We want to reuse them.
Yeah.
Do we want to reuse them? Are they in good?
They're in good
yeah.
shape.
Yeah.
Well, they don't just stack them there. They got to use glue and, you know, it takes leveling them. Believe me, I just did a little wall. I know it's work.
Well, I said they're more detailed, this one.
Yeah.
Fir Oak is more detailed than what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And they're, you know, the cleaning. The other one, Collegiate's adding a lot more of the flowers, but they're not building
the
wall.
The walls
cost more, a little bit more. And then the Eric Hill, they're not putting in the flowers.
Oh, the last one.
They only have three of the spirea. And some lilies.
Yeah.
And ground cover.
And Collegiate says they're not, looks like they're not putting down weed control either.
Neither is Eric Hill.
Mm-hmm. So the only one doing the weed
control. See, they built in removing the wall blocks. So that's why it's another reason why it's probably $25.60.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but these were only charging $100 if you just wanted to remove it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I feel like with Eric, you could probably, because if you designed your plan, so they're saying, I mean, they described it instead of drawing it out, three in front, three in back, one on either side. I don't know how much extra they would charge to plant the other, the $500 worth of plants we might, I mean, $500 worth of plants is kind of a lot, no? If you already have eight bushes?
Well, they're giving us $500
towards
the project.
Towards the project.
So I think, this is...
I think this one, and then the garden club, are they helping us design the garden club?
No, but of the four that we have proposals on, this Fir Oak was the only one that I did not meet with. He came over the weekend.
And did we get them referred to us from somebody? Or?
Fir Oak and the Hardscape were both from Judy Summerlin.
Okay.
So Collegiate was from Russ, and Eric is our normal
He's a decent price, too, with building the wall back up.
Yeah, but we just have to design our own. You know, maybe the bar code can give us tips.
Well, for Eric?
Yeah. For flowers? Just lilies?
So my only other question is, were these all designed knowing that there's a sign behind it? Is it all stuff that's going to be short over the long term, so it's not going to obstruct?
Yeah.
That it's going to be short and also things that would be hardy and hold up after the winter.
And in drought conditions.
Bush is a little bit better for that because, like with lilies, you got to go back in and cut all the dead. I always hate that part.
Me too.
And then it's spring, and I'm like, I didn't cut it from last season before the new ones start. And it just looks a mess if you don't, like, you still got to kind of maintain lilies a lot more than you do a bush. Like, it looks like it died, but then every spring, once it gets a lot of rain, it just comes back. You know what I mean? It's a lot easier to hedge a bush.
The other question is, do you want it on both sides of the sign? Because some are only doing one side, others are doing all the way around.
Oh, we would want both.
He's only doing one side. Is that what you think Eric Hill is doing? Is why he only said three gold flame?
Well, we really want to, I mean, we're in the fall, so.
Eric says both sides. I mean, Fir Oak says both sides. And this one says both sides, too. Collegiate. Isn't our sign two-sided? You can see it from either direction. I would think we want
it. You want it on both sides.
Yeah.
I would say we really want the cleanup to be taking place, and then find, do we want to spend it all now going into the winter, fall winter, get the cleanup and put some bushes and
I think it should be done now.
Yeah, I mean,
I was gonna say it all flowers better in the spring if it was planted in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
Fall's the best time to plant.
It's a good time to do it.
Okay, so which one are we going to go with?
So my only concern with fir oak is, again, they're not specifying any of the plants they want to use.
Which bushes they're using?
Because you say bushes again, it's a sign. If you notice,
different
like
color bushes.
If you notice Collegiate's design.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing, I'm guessing the little lime hydrangeas are probably like dwarf hydrangeas on the roadside, so they're short.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're specifying.
No, that's not the roadside. That's the inside, right?
No, that's the roadside.
That's the roadside.
Why does it say public sidewalk then on the other side?
That's the public sidewalk through the driveway.
There's a sidewalk.
Right here.
Between the building and the sign.
Oh, is it that way?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was on the outside. Okay.
So then, my guess is the reed grasses are taller, and they're putting that kind of behind the sign. So I just think there does look like some design thought into what they've selected from a visibility standpoint. I worry there's a reason the other ones aren't saying eight bushes and are mixing in whether it be flowers or grasses or lower items to put around the sign. Because if we put bushes around all eight sides without maintenance, they're going to overgrow the the height of the
LED
sign.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I don't know.
I have a hard time signing off on something that just says eight bushes.
Yeah. I mean, to me, it seems like Collegiate is the best.
They're more detailed and specific on what they're doing.
But they're not rebuilding.
They're not rebuilding.
So if you ask them to rebuild, it's probably going to be over $3,500.
Yeah.
Again, though, if you put a wall, is that going to raise the height of the bed?
Yeah.
And
it will.
Is there maybe some concern with
visibility
if they raise the height of the bed with rebuilding the wall? Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I think you guys are looking at this the wrong way. The little slime hydrangeas is towards this gym. This public sidewalk, this is it. This is our driveway, this is the sidewalk. So the little hydrangeas, like I said, is on this side. It's not on the street side. It's on the inside.
Yeah, he could have marked the parking lot.
What the street side is going to see.
Oh, he does driveway. Got it.
Yes.
I didn't see the driveway.
Yeah, I
okay.
I do see.
Yep.
So you're right. That might inhibit.
I think that the 4-inch wall,
the
I don't know how tall our bricks are, but usually you have to dig down to level them. Like if they're making it so expensive because they're digging down to level them, and then it's not making the whole bed higher. It's just keeping the mulch from blowing out all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you do when you cut just the grass, you know, it's much harder to contain that mulch. It's always blowing out.
You have to dig a ditch into it and take it down.
Which they did. They were like trench edge 75 feet around both sides of the sign, an additional mulch area, sod busting, heavy dirt work to bring to grade before applying mulch.
If we like this one, maybe could we go back to them if this is the one that we think is doing what we want? Should we be specific?
Should we ask them, say, hey,
yes, what are you,
tell us what
since
you
she didn't meet
thinking
with them, so
right.
Yeah.
Should we find out exactly what their idea is? I mean, what are you planning?
Yeah, I think that would be a good thing to do.
And then that way we can compare.
I think they both should, the top two should come to the next board meeting.
Yeah.
And present it.
And ask them for specifics in there.
Specifics that this one did. Specifics on this
one. Well, are we thinking Collegiate and Fir Oak or Eric Hill and Fir Oak? Because they both included rebuilding as a possibility.
We could ask Collegiate about rebuilding the wall, since he didn't include it.
Mm-hmm. Just to see for rebuilding the wall?
Yeah.
So who did she invite back to the next board meeting?
This one?
She hasn't anybody yet.
Nobody yet.
No, I'm asking who should she?
Well, this one for sure, the one that everyone seems to.
I would say Eric Hill and Collegiate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, Eric Hill and Collegiate. Okay. He's already on there.
So I'm inviting Collegiate and Eric Hill back.
Yeah.
For the mayor. And I want Collegiate to include our builder.
What about no? Fir Oak.
I like Fir Oak. That's Russ's. I like Fir Oak
because they were specific.
Have all three of them, Ben. Chances are one of them won't show.
We need more specifics on Fir Oak. Mm-hmm.
We want.
What are they planting?
Species or whatever
types of. So Fir Oaks, you want to know what plants they're including?
Yeah, yes. More detail.
And Collegiate, we're asking the building
about
the wall.
Right.
It'd be nice to have a sketch to see what their vision is.
I was going
to
say, can we have a visual for each of them? Because we have a visual for Collegiate, but not for Eric or for Oak.
Okay. So this is their business and what they do. They should just provide that to us.
I would think so.
Okay. So that'll be for next. Okay. So let's move on to new business. So we've got the marketing plan.
So the only thing I'm wondering, I know we've talked about like community partnerships and engaging with other community organizations, and where does that tie in your plan?
In here.
Chamber.
Yep.
Commerce.
Yeah, it's in here.
School districts.
We can, right now, especially where we are, we can really become the resource for our community during this pandemic. You know, people are always looking for ways to do and learn different things, and shifting from the inside to virtual is kind of where we should be going as well. There's a lot of things that we can do virtually besides just the storytelling and stuff. Finding out how we can connect with, like you say, the schools during this time. You know, not all the kids will be in school or going to school. How can we leverage
resources? It's under goal number one, under benchmarks, increased use of library resources, greater increased community partnership.
I would think, though, that actually, rather than it being a goal, part of the plan would involve engaging.
What
number one,
she said?
One? It's on the back.
There it is.
She's saying those are measurements, but my question is, how will these be measured? So increased use of library resources, that's measurable. We have that's data we can easily track. Greater awareness of the library and how it can benefit the community.
That's,
are we planning to do another survey? Like, how would we actually measure that benchmark has been met? Because I think back to the, you know, those SMART goals. Like, it has to be measurable. And I just feel like that one's kind of loose. Like,
well, this is just the draft. I mean, what you would do is you would go and have, under the strategy, you would have your objectives. And then under the objectives, you would have the numbers of what you're trying to accomplish. Mm-hmm.
I know that we're in the midst of a pandemic, and the way that libraries work.
I wasn't sure I was on target with.
No. We're in the midst of a pandemic, so we would not expect, you know, exactly. But now that we have reopened, and other organizations have reopened as well, trying to see how we can become that resource. You know, we are the resource. How our community can use us right now during this time. In education, for businesses, you know, companies are doing virtual things now. Maybe somebody can come in and host, you know, hey, the library's hosting a business, doing a talk on so-and-so about how
we started already. We have a YouTube channel.
I guess my question... Okay, so I have a hard time with some of these. The survey was a good start, but I think some of the places we want to make connections, they didn't fill out the survey. We have to ask them how we can help. Like, we need to have somebody whose job it is to be in the know with the chamber. Does that make sense? Like, they attend, because our small business in Yorkville is a big deal. Like, you know what I mean? Like, a lot of people were really excited about how, like, Yorkville Parks and Rec, like our city, donated all these tables so our restaurants could, you know, stay in business. And, like, I was like, it is my civic duty to eat out, like, at all these restaurants. And, like, that's where I feel like, what are we doing to be, like, how are we making Yorkville successful and healthy and balanced? You know what I mean? Like, what is our part? I feel like Parks and Rec are opening parks so people have outdoor spaces. They donated tables so that local restaurants could keep working. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I could see the school district is, like, providing resources for people who need to eat meals, you know. They moved driver's ed to the high school, like, all these organizations. And the library's sitting off to the side. Like, we have to figure out, not just make up stuff we think they want.
Right. Find out.
But we find the niche.
And we have to go and be, like, listening at those chambers.
Yes, because they're still going on.
That's some place that's a way I could help, that they can't figure out how to make that happen, or a space or whatever. Oh, we have people who know that kind of stuff. You know what I mean? Like, I know in some larger districts, our school teachers are doing a really good job, but a lot of people have chosen homeschooling this year. So, like, it's not something you do all the time, but maybe for this year and the next year, there's a homework hotline. You know what I mean? Like, we have a children's person who literally sits on Zoom for 2 hours, and the kids know these 2 hours, and maybe some days there'd be nobody, but maybe other days, kids dial in. You know, like, are we paying attention to the trends of what's happening in our community? And you can't do that if you're not going to the school board meetings, going to the chamber meetings. So we kind of need to figure out a way for people to do that regularly. Mm-hmm. I think it's a way for us. I know Elisa can't do that all the time, but we need to figure
out. I'm down 8 staff members right now. We're just barely surviving, you know, having staffing on the desk.
But most of the meetings are online now. Because of the pandemic.
And the staff members you're down wouldn't be the ones that would be attending those, right? It would be the managers.
The managers, right. And the managers, I mean, how much more can the managers pay?
I mean...
Well, it's not stay, like...
It's not stay.
And this is something I was talking about before, a position that was more community outreach, community involvement. Like, we almost need a dedicated position, because...
We can't connect with the community if we're not there.
Mm-hmm. We also need a maintenance person that's dealing with the facility.
Well, I don't think that we need a maintenance person. I think there's a possibility. Does the city have an engineer that would be able to? I don't know.
He's only part time between Oswego.
You know, because we have so many times where our AC and everything trips off. It's just a reset sometimes. Mm-hmm. But when you call somebody out for it, it's a call. Yeah.
Yes.
It'd be nice if, like, the city, if we had a, I don't know if we do, we have a city engineer. I think it's shared between Oswego, right?
I'm not sure. The only engineer I know is the guy from Engineering Enterprises, Brad.
Okay.
But he doesn't do that sort of thing. They engineer the streets.
Okay.
There is a person that's split between Oswego and Yorkville, and he did help us out when we had a power outage.
So he's just like the facility manager and just does that sort of work around the city when it's needed?
I think it's a little more than that, but he's only part-time with Yorkville, part-time with Oswego. We had that problem with the power.
Mm-hmm. With ComEd.
He came out and tried to help us on that.
So... In that case, if that is true, that's still going on, then I don't think that we need a facilities person. But we need somebody that can do an outreach and programming type of person. So that's really what we need. So, again, someone that does attend, you know, Chamber of Commerce,
right,
or whatever, you know, especially with the school district right now, with so many kids that are going to be doing the hybrid learning or just at
home. You got a lot, like at the middle or the high school, one of them, when he did our preliminary reporting, and I couldn't make it tonight because I'm here, but like it was 25% had chosen eSchool. Like they will not step foot in a building for the first couple months of school.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not counting the number of parents who are like, I'm just going to go homeschool, because trying to manage 4 and 5 different Zooms and 4 grade levels and age groups, they were like, not that they don't respect it, but they were like, I need to be able to manage my own day. So they're choosing homeschool just until things get back to normal. They're like, I totally expect I'll put my kids back in when schools go back to being normal, but between the masks and the Zooms and the schedule. So, like, there's a lot of people who need evenings. They need middle of the day. Like, it's hard to explain, like...
I mean, with tutoring, like, offering tutoring service, like, the library is open, the Michelle Pfister room is open for X amount of hours for math. And it can be math from...
Well, not during this. That's not a need for now, because people are trying to avoid contact. It's the reason why I say it's hard, because all of our people are taxed with their present jobs, so that nobody can give a dedicated, consistent effort to the marketing that we want to see. You know what I mean? Like, you have to be looking at the big picture. Your marketing needs to feed into each other. What you're doing at the school level needs to fit in with, you know, the businesses. We need to even be reaching out, because our chamber doesn't have Yorkville specific businesses. I was watching, I was looking at the new book that came out, and I'm like, this is not even in Yorkville, but it's in our catalog. Like, there are people we could be reaching differently, you know? And I guess, like, a big part of school librarianships is sometimes dying in certain areas. So we're always taught to advocate for why we're here. I feel like our library needs to be doing the same thing. If we don't do a better job of convincing people why we're valuable, we will lose funding mm-hmm. and become obsolete. You know, like, that's a real fear for me, mm-hmm. that we are not yeah. meeting people's needs. We're kind of out of touch sometimes. And so I do understand what Elisa's saying. It's really hard because they're all working so hard to find the time to do the extra stuff. But if you make a plan without any input from the people,
mm-hmm.
your plan doesn't, like, I feel like we're making plans that aren't going to help people.
Well, part of this, too, is preparation for marketing, because we've got to have a better website. We've got to have better promotion.
But the better website does not take away from being in a part of those engagements. The president, I actually attended the ALA. They had something called the holding space. And the president talked about how we have to be proactive, the libraries right now, ensuring our voice in our community. And the libraries have to pivot, as we stated, and make known that we are needed. This is what we're trying to say. We're in a position right now where we can pivot and show that we are needed and advocate for whatever it is that's needed within our community. But we can't do that if we're not out knowing what those needs are, if we're not connected with our... I mean, we have a very, very robust chamber. I mean, I've gone to a couple of their events, and they are very well connected with our small businesses. Mm-hmm. And even though we're growing as a city, we still run ourselves as a small city, you know, that small-knit city where everyone's still interconnected. So I think that we have the opportunity to somehow get connected to our community and become innovative in how we do that. I mean, this is the time for innovation. You know, we can't go out, but maybe we can call and say, hey, you know, what are you guys having a meeting? Or we know when those meetings are. See what they're talking about. Hey, well, we have a space. You can come on our virtual, on our YouTube channel and talk about whatever, how to do this. Something that somebody might need in the community. Mm-hmm. How to set up a LinkedIn account. How to, you know, go
well,
for
like
job interview. Whatever
it is. Coming up, the elections. So between the census and the, like, the libraries, because I'm part of Future Life, and I know people in the public libraries, that they have been the, like, voice of filling out the census. Because you filling that out means that Yorkville, everybody's right. counted. That means more money for our library. They it's a direct... Mm-hmm. So, like, it's a place where you can get the pamphlets. It's a place where it's promoted on the what? Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? And then voting. I remember in Plainfield, they'd have a thing for all the candidates. So when people are like, I can't read that website, I can't figure out... Here's all the candidates' platforms. Easy for you to pick up. Register to vote was in the library. All, you know what I mean? Like, we're information hubs for what's needed. So elections are coming up. We should be information hubs for the election. We should be information hubs for, like, in a way that makes sense for people when they need it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's 100 years of the women's right to vote. It's a huge opportunity to promote voting and women's rights and women's history that's coming up this, you know, like, this is, this 2020 is the 100 years. Mm-hmm. I already ordered, they had free displays. I ordered that 2 months ago for my school. I don't even know how many kids are going to be in my school. I ordered that display so that people could see, like, it's been, it's not that long, people. We, only 100 years women have been able to vote. Like, it's a big deal. Like, I just, we always feel like we're working at a deficit because of our staffing. And when are we going to say we have to commit to this? I think we're asking Elisa to do stuff that we need. Mm-hmm. We need manpower, not just a plan. Like, to make this really happen. You know?
I don't think we need a website to start the marketing. I just don't.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm done.
I think we need updating the website.
No,
I mean, we can still look into that, but that shouldn't stop us from moving forward.
Where's the first place people are going to go when they're interested in the library?
That's what came up in the survey.
And they said it works too slow.
Yeah.
In the survey,
so,
people look to the website as their number one.
Find someone, if we went to those meetings, the chamber, maybe there's somebody that we can connect with, I mean, that would help us with that.
But we have a company that's already going to do it.
Yeah, I have a proposal already.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did we get it?
But they need, when they build it for you, because they rebuild it for you, where do you want things? How do you want things laid out? How do you want your information organized?
Mm-hmm. They did Oswego, they did Plano's.
Okay.
And they did a great job.
So we just have to tell them we want something that looks like that.
So I just want to take a step back, and just from my perspective, I get all that. Mm-hmm. I get the importance, and I get that we want to integrate. I feel like from a plan standpoint, we don't have to have all those answers initially. I just think from the marketing plan, we want to see something as far as engaging with the community, whether that is a person, whether that's using our staff. But I just feel like from the plan standpoint, engaging with the greater community to determine needs and to promote the library services, that should be item one on any marketing plan right now, because we've identified it as a strategic objective. It comes up in here, establish community partnerships. I know if we look at, you know, our master plan, it's on there. So I feel like we don't have to have the answers as far as the staffing, as far as who's doing it, for it to be on the plan. But I do think it needs to be on the plan. As far as the staffing piece goes, I know we have previously talked about looking at our staffing model, comparing it to other libraries of similar sizes, understanding... Pardon?
We never got to the position.
We never did that. So I think before we talk about a position of somebody to do that, with the minimum wage increase happening, with our turnover, with comparing other libraries, we have to grasp what we're doing with that before we even look at, can we add a position that this is, you know, kind of their goal of being. So I think we need to reignite that discussion and that evaluation as part of our monthly meetings, and start to look at our staffing model so that we can pull our marketing plan and our staffing model and tie those together to accomplish what you're talking about.
That was being worked on before the pandemic.
Right.
And I don't know if she ever got to get those from the
other members. Got some examples, not from everybody. Yeah.
Yeah, so we...
And we want to understand FTEs by department based on their, you know, operational size. So just... how many people, not how many people do they have employed part-time, how many people are in the building when they're open, just for comparison, so.
Oh, you mean
one thing,
the library?
Yeah, the other
that
library.
Part I understand, and I'm not speaking from the perspective of the person, a new role or individual. I'm speaking on the perspective of, have we attempted to engage in with any of those, like the chamber? I mean, we still have events going on.
I think Elisa used to attend the chamber, right?
When you first... I had contact with them.
Yeah.
What I want to do is have an event here. One of their, you know, morning coffees or business after hours, but we can't do that now.
But I think from the marketing plan standpoint, those would be items that we'd want to...
I just want
to tie in.
I guess my thing is, I don't want to have an event. What I'm talking about is not an event so that they know that we like them. I want a relationship with the con. I want a relationship where we know what they need, and I think that's why I say we really do need to, like, you have here letter C on goal one. I like everything there. I think that's a definite. I think letter A, you already do. For me, I feel like letter A, you already do. Could we do it a little bit more? Maybe. But I think you do letter A really a lot already. You know, like you try to promote. I see it on Facebook. I see it on the website. I get the newsletter. But I think, like, how you're getting better, they're doing more YouTubes and, like, changing up the technology. I think that's a great goal. I like that a lot. I just said, how can we measure the awareness? You can measure the interest because they'll sign up. I think we can measure community partnerships because we'll have partnerships or we won't.
Right.
So my only thing was the awareness. How can we figure out a way to measure it? I know Facebook you can see, even YouTube you can see likes, you know what I mean? So you can even add that into your, like some people add that into their video. Like if you felt like this video gave you some good tips, hit that like button, you know what I mean? Like maybe you got to get some young people to make it hip or whatever, but that's a way for us to measure the increase awareness. I just feel like some of what we want isn't going to happen. We keep having these, we'd like to see this, we'd like to see this, without putting the human capital behind it happening, if that makes sense. So the relationships with the commerce and like YEF is really big. So they're not the school district, they're the fundraising arm of the school district. That would be a powerful relationship. But you gotta go to their meetings. They need more. They want more people on their board. You know what I mean? Like,
we could have been a part of the new teachers Every year the chamber does new teachers' breakfast. This year they didn't. I think they just gave
them. Well, YEF gave kids some at the beginning.
We could have been part of, you know, giving away so that they can know that, hey, new teachers, hey, here's your resource, your library. Don't forget to tell your students, here's some goodie things or marketing materials to add to the basket or whatever.
These opportunities to market aren't coming because we're not in relationship with the different organizations. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that's a goal.
In my director's report, has all the Facebook hits and
yeah, that's what I was saying.
And all that.
That's a good way to report. Yeah. So I just feel like one of the ones I'd like to see is trying to figure out with our staffing, with our managers. I'd like to see one about finding the man out, like the actual people time to develop those relationships. I think we need to do that before we can start saying we're going to do all of this stuff. Are we doing the stuff that they need? Are we doing stuff that's practical for us to do? You know what I mean? Like, I'd like to see, I think less of this could be on the page, and that should be a higher priority. That's a personal thing for me. So.
So does the board want to give me feedback to me to redo this for the next meeting? Any comments? And I'll...
Do we want more of a proposal, or?
I feel like most of it's good.
It's just the action behind what's been
the community engagement piece. I just developed that.
So do you want that? Where do you want that under a goal, or is that a separate goal?
I would say it's a separate goal.
So is that goal number
4?
4. How do you
want to
list that?
Enhance engagement with greater community to fill needs.
Enhance?
Engagement with greater community.
Greater community?
Yeah, services and organizations, I guess. Lomeka's items fits in as far as strategies and developing those.
And just make sure all your benchmarks are measurable.
And then the outcomes would be what Theron's looking for as far as having those solutions for.
Connect, you know, partnering with those. Because we can't really know if we're not there.
Yeah. Tell me what the outcomes would be.
What Theron's looking for as far as having the solutions for the community needs and filling those gaps in what the different groups are looking
and
for.
Businesses,
so.
And education.
So the library becoming a community component to fill in.
Well, that's the number 4. How will you engage and develop meaningful relationships with community,
right.
Community groups? Stakeholders.
Stakeholders.
Right.
That's a good question. Stakeholders.
Where do you want me to put the stakeholders in?
Well, that's all part of 4. That's all part of that community engagement.
It'd be a strategy. I feel like the engaging with the stakeholders would be one of the strategies to get the outcomes we need.
So then
you
would, like,
they'll
say, you know, the library was there. The library, you know, they were there during this time, and they continue to be there for us.
They may not have had air conditioning.
Yes.
But they were there.
Well, I was wondering. I was looking up like, why are the windows open?
But they were there, and they were thinking about us, you know? Mm-hmm. We don't want to get left behind. You know, we don't want to be that last resource that people go to. We want to be the in the front, you know? We don't want to lose our status as being the resource.
Okay, let me redo it. Bring goal 4 back to you next month. Mm-hmm. If you have any input, email me, and I'll add it in.
Thank you.
All right.
So last item on new business is MetroNet business agreement.
MetroNet, last page. So what we have here is three things that MetroNet is proposing. After almost a month with Comcast trying to figure out what happened to our contract, turns out right after I told him I wanted to cancel it, he came back and said, oh, the reason it got rejected was for a $100 installation fee that was not included in the original order. So, and in the meantime, we got this proposal from MetroNet for a synchronous fiber, 1 gig up, 1 gig down, $295 a month, where we were paying roughly $245 a month for our 500 copper meg down and 35 up.
This is to get us going faster, right?
This is going to get us going way faster.
Yes.
We need this.
Way faster.
I've been in the library waiting for it.
And the reason he's putting the last two are independent of each other, because Elisa and I, and I think we all agree, the phone system in the library needs an upgrade.
She said it was just down too.
Well, it's because it Comcast is down. Because the Comcast router in the other building is not powered up. You're not going to get any phone lines. So the $295 is the internet for the 1 gig service. The one in the middle is if we take what we currently have is the 5 POTS lines. Plain old telephone service is what POTS stands for your notes.
Okay.
Take that over from Comcast and give it to MetroNet. Mm-hmm. Saves us about $30 a month.
Okay.
Option number 3 down here is totally replacing the phone system with voice over IP. They bring in a separate internet service that runs just the phones. So it takes away none of the bandwidth from our internet. And as long with the PoE switch, power over Ethernet switch that's mm-hmm. listed there, which we could probably buy and save $30 a month if we did that.
Yeah.
As long as it was on a battery backup system, like we have a battery backup in there that isn't being used, mm-hmm. we would have phone service because the power would come from the switch for all the phones. Mm-hmm. And as long as the router was powered up, everything would be fine. It's a hosted, basically, it's like it says, it's a hosted PBX system. It's out there somewhere in the cloud.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's all taken care of, and the phones are IP phones.
So, do we have to get new phones then?
We would get new phones.
Is that included?
That's included in here.
It is.
Okay, so then, the first part is internet.
I believe it's, I think he only gave us a price for two different, one phone, two different styles.
Mm-hmm. Where is it?
Standard desktop.
The Poly VV311 standard phone.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the standard phone looks like it's included, and then you pay a $3 upgrade
right.
if you want the color screen.
Yeah.
$5 upgrade if you want the executive level phone.
Right.
Executive. But how many phones do we need?
Yeah.
And the reason he's
three phones.
The reason he's talking phones with the internet is he was offering them the library two months free. Of whatever we sign up for. I don't know if you want to get other quotes. We have internet, which is
the plain phone service.
Then the POTS lines.
To
replace what we have now. And then we have replaced the whole phone system.
Okay, so the system. And then the total of that total is the $500.
Correct.
And that's the monthly cost.
That's the monthly cost. And depending on how many phones we have. That monthly charge would change because we would be adding, I think, 24 phones, I think is what you counted.
One was the analog.
Okay. Yeah.
So,
this one
top item is just internet.
I know. That I understand. What's going forward's cost?
So, it would be the top item would just be the internet cost going forward, and then we'd either do the $128 to replace our current phone.
Every month.
Every month. Or you do the $539 to replace our existing phone and the phone system every month.
Right. And just to back up onto the internet, this cost is not e-rateable because it's a business service. So it is not included in e-rate. So we don't get, this is what we would pay.
On the phone system?
No. Phone system is not e-rateable anyway. Right. We're not getting any e-rate money.
Why is the internet not e-rateable?
Because it's a business service. It's not an e-rate, what did he call it? It's not an e-rate service that is eligible for e-rate.
Because
it's a business class service instead of the other side. It's two different things.
But it's the same amount, right?
Right.
It's the same amount. A lot faster service.
Right. When we sent out the E-Rate 470 forms to get bids on internet service upgrades, we did receive 1 gig proposals from Comcast, AT&T, and Metronet. But their cost was like $1,700 a month without E-Rate. And then we would get half of that back.
Oh, so we were still going to end up paying $600-$700.
Right.
$249. Okay.
Right.
Is there an SLA on that?
No. That's the reason why it's so cheap. There is no SLA.
Okay.
But as long as it's getting us faster.
So. And that cost is still cheaper.
That cost is still cheaper.
Okay. I guess the phone $539 includes the old system plus the new.
No, we don't. It would be the internet service. Or and the one in the middle, the five POTS lines,
right. or the internet
and the one on the bottom.
Yeah.
And we can pick the internet without the phone system. We can get more bids from like Sound Incorporated, who we have contracts on our phones. We would still have Sound Incorporated do our cameras. But
so the Sound Incorporated does our phones and our cameras right now.
Correct.
And we just went to see what they could offer us.
I don't know. We haven't gotten a quote from them yet for the voiceover IP.
Well, I know.
Since Sound Incorporated does our phones, is that
they maintain the physical phones.
Right.
I think there's a PBX switch in the telecom room. They maintain the cameras.
So would we be if we accepted the phone
this plan phone option, here,
would that break the contract with them where they would say you need to
I don't know what our contract is with. I think it's an annual maintenance contract.
Yeah, our phone system's so old we wouldn't be under.
We do still have 11 months on our Comcast contract, which is probably why he's offering to give us 2 months free. Because if you've been tapped by Metronet at your house, they're talking about buying out your existing contract with whoever your provider is, and up to I think $150. The one thing I was going to ask the Comcast guy is currently we have the 150 meg service on a 3-year term that ends next July. And it also has the phones, and I wanted to ask him if we dropped the internet but kept the phones, would that still break our contract?
Okay.
I don't think it would. I think it would still maintain our contract. We just wouldn't have the internet from Comcast.
So then we want
to
make.
Otherwise, we have to pay $112 because that internet service is still e-rateable. So we would still maintain that e-rate refund. On that 150 meg, we'd still have that service. We could use it for something. I don't know what.
Mm-hmm.
But
I mean, if the price is cheaper,
the price for $250 for a 1 gig service, for 1 gig fiber.
We need that. So should we find out if we
How much of our equipment is gigabit?
All of it.
Is it?
Yep.
All those switches are?
All those switches are gigabit.
Okay.
All the computers are gigabit.
All the computers, yeah.
The new access points we put up are all gigabit.
Okay.
So right now we have the new wireless, the public Wi-Fi is set to 5 meg down, 1 meg up. We can increase that throughput on the public wireless.
Okay. I think we can't make a decision on this until we get some of the contracts.
Yeah.
If we cancel part but not the other.
Make sure we
don't. And then the sound, what's the
sound? Sound Incorporated.
Will they manage Metronet phones?
No. It would be Metronet that manages everything.
Okay, so we don't keep that contract.
We would not keep that contract,
and
other than
for
the cameras.
Do we have, would that break any contracts?
I think we're on a month-to-month with them.
Can we make
that
sure?
Would be, we should verify that and Comcast.
Can we make sure Comcast contract?
I can ask Comcast about that. I mean, what we pay right now for the service we have is $112. Every month.
I'd like to not waste.
But we upped the speed. Is that the new?
That was the contract that canceled. So we're still only getting the 150.
We never went through that contract.
The 500 meg never went through.
But I mean, is that still an option?
We could still go back and we could actually go back and redo that whole thing if we wanted to. And
but
pay.
Do we have to reapply for E-rate or
no.
Because we're approved?
No, we're approved. We have funding approved. We just have to find something. But I mean, here we're paying $250 for 1 gig, whereas there we would be paying $250 for 500 meg on copper.
I like that it's giving us more speed. I just want to make sure that we can get out of the contract before we say yes to the venture.
Yeah. And this is a 3-year commitment, though.
This
too.
Is also a 3-year commitment.
So I mean, it's not if the service is down every other day, it doesn't matter what speed we're getting.
Well, yeah, that's when we start complaining at them. This Jeff Norris guy,
who has Metronet?
Nobody yet.
lives over right over here on 47. So he's
call. He called me directly.
Yeah.
Well, I see them all around.
So one thing, if we did it, I would like to see if they would be willing to maybe look at a 1-year commitment for us to try it rather than committing ourselves to 3 years, especially with a new provider in the area that's still building out their infrastructure.
Yeah.
I have concerns signing on to a 3-year agreement when we don't have any. There's no SLA, so we have no recourse if our internet's down, aside from service credit.
That's one of the reasons. That's what you pay for when you pay $1,700 a month, is you get that SLA.
Right. So we have no recourse if our internet's down. We're already agreeing to use them for 3 years. I don't know.
If you don't like them and it's bad, then you can't even get out of the contract.
Realistically, we're not going to saturate our upgraded connection in Comcast.
No.
On a day-to-day basis, even with our new infrastructure.
Unless we start doing all this Zoom stuff.
No, we'll be okay.
Or,
I mean, I have much bigger sites on.
Computer classes.
We'll be okay. I mean, with the upgraded Comcast speed. Again, I'm not saying this is a good deal.
Yeah,
that's a great deal.
But I think they're trying to make the price attractive, knowing that they're going to get you on the hook for what's the ETF too? That's the other thing is
2-3 weeks.
The early termination fee.
Probably what was left on the contract, like Comcast. So if we wanted to get worst case, if we broke the Comcast contract, which I don't think we will because we're still using the phones.
Yeah.
We would pay however many months are left on the contract. So it would be 10, 11 months. Has the city gotten any complaints about Metronet?
Only the installation.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Imagine
why.
Poles all over my yard.
Yes, they're going up on the fence.
Yeah,
so don't
only the installation.
Yeah.
Why are they digging
the
holes in my yard?
And then they put down terrible grassy and it just grows back weeds.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. They're just not a known entity to us too much yet, so I have hesitation of signing a 3-year contract.
What did you say? They've been around for 10, 11 years, something like that.
The
they're in, they're
the
in Florida.
They're still with AT&T.
Yeah.
I think the school switched to Sunday.
Schools are with Comcast.
No, I think they were changing.
Yeah. Last I heard, they were still with, they have a 10 gig service at the school. At least 10 gig between all the schools. And then it's separated out from there. But yeah, they're in about, I think the guy said they're in about 15 states right now. Mostly in the Midwest, down to Florida.
I agree with Mason saying that we should see if we can get a 1-year contract, being that, you know, since we've been so used to the service that we have and not knowing what they're going to provide, mm-hmm. I would say we'll see.
Yeah, we're supposed to mention that in June, so.
Yeah, that's what I said, the school district needs to mention that. And then seeing if the, what was I going to say? Something else.
Sorry.
The service, how long they've been around. Oh, and the Comcast, seeing that if we're going to be penalized for leaving them.
Because we don't need a gig by gig. I mean, it's great, it's good pricing, but if we're going to, it's not worth taking fines or early termination fees to go to it, and I would be very hesitant to sign on to a 3-year agreement without us knowing the reliability. Mm-hmm. I mean, even if the school signed on Metronet, so like even with Comcast, you can get enterprise level Comcast fiber, mm-hmm. or you can get Comcast cable, you know, SLA, or, you know, just best effort.
Yeah.
They're different services. Even Comcast will tell you, we don't guarantee anything on this. We, you know, have
SLA, we guarantee 4 hours.
So I would like a shorter term. I'd like to understand the Comcast agreement, and I'd like to know with Metronet what our early termination fee is if we mm-hmm. have issues. Because I know, like, even on the Comcast consumer side, I think the early termination fee tops out at like $300, regardless of the length of the
contract. Well, I asked Richard, what's his name, and he said it would be whatever the length, whatever the term was left.
Yeah.
But from my previous contacts with Comcast, as long as you keep one of the services up, your contract is still in force.
Yeah. The good news is we don't have a huge bandwidth demand right now in the library. We're not doing much programming, so I don't think we need to make the decision now.
Okay. I'll get those answers.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. That's it. There's no reason to go into executive session, so we are adjourned.
Woo-hoo. Please exit the building to the